HarperCollins and Harper Audio present Defy Me by Tahereh Mafi, performed by Kate Simses, James Fuhe, and Vikas Adam.
Kenji. She's screaming. She's just screaming words, I think. They're just words. But she's screaming. Screaming at the top of her lungs with an agony that seems almost an exaggeration, and it's causing devastation I never knew possible. It's like she just imploded. It doesn't seem real. I mean, I knew Juliet was strong, and I knew we hadn't discovered the depth of her powers, but I never imagined she'd be capable of this. Of this. The ceiling is splitting open. Seismic currents are thundering up the walls, across the floors, chattering my teeth. The ground is rumbling under my feet. People are frozen in place even as they shake, the room vibrating around them. The chandeliers swing too fast, and the lights flicker ominously. And then, with one last vibration, three of the massive chandeliers rip free from the ceiling and shatter as they hit the floor. Crystal flies everywhere. The room loses half its light, bathing the cavernous space in a freakish glow, and it's suddenly hard to see what's happening. I look at Juliet and see her staring, slack-jawed, frozen at the sight of the devastation, and I realize she must have stopped screaming a minute ago. She can't stop this. She already put the energy into the world, and now it has to go somewhere. The shutters ripple with renewed fervor across the floorboards, ripping through walls and seats and people. I don't actually believe it until I see the blood. It seems fake for a second. All the limp bodies in seats with their chests butterflied open. It seems staged, like a bad joke, like a bad theater production. But when I see the blood, thick and heavy, seeping through clothes and upholstery, dripping down frozen hands, I know we'll never recover from this. Juliet just murdered 600 people at once. There's no recovering from this. I shove my way through the quiet, stunned, still-breathing bodies of my friends. I hear Winston's soft, insistent whimpers and Brendan's steady, reassuring response that the wound isn't as bad as it looks, that he's going to be okay, that he's been through worse than this and survived it. And I know my priority right now needs to be Juliet. When I reach her, I pull her into my arms, and her cold, unresponsive body reminds me of the time I found her standing over Anderson, a gun aimed at his chest. She was so terrified, so surprised by what she'd done that she could hardly speak. She looked like she'd disappeared into herself somewhere, like she'd found a small room in her brain and had locked herself inside. It took a minute to coax her back out again. She hadn't even killed anyone that time. I try to warm some sense into her, begging her now to return to herself, to hurry back to her mind, to the present moment. I know everything is crazy right now, but I need you to snap out of this, Jay. Wake up! Get out of your head! We have to get out of here! She doesn't blink. Princess, please, I say, shaking her a little. We have to go! Now! And when she still doesn't move, I figure I have no choice but to move her myself. I start hauling her backward. Her limp body is heavier than I expect, and she makes a small wheezing sound that's almost like a sob. Fear sparks in my nerves. I nod at Castle and the others to go, to move on without me, but when I glance around, looking for Warner, I realize I can't find him anywhere. What happens next knocks the wind from my lungs. The room tilts, my vision blackens, clears, and then darkens only at the edges in a dizzying moment that lasts hardly a second. I feel off-center. I stumble. And then